Nightly report on the coronavirus worldwide pandemic. Dr. Henry Nyman is standing by, and Henry, did you, I'm sure you must have, I somehow missed it, today's White House Rose Garden news conference with the president. Did you see it?
I saw most of it. I didn't see the very beginning and the very end, but I did see the data presentation by Fauci and Bricks.
Yeah. Our president told us today, according to this one of many reports, President Trump was asked if he had lulled Americans into a false sense of security by telling the public that the virus would go away quickly, even as it was clear that the number of cases and death toll were rising. And this is the quote. I knew everything. I knew it could be horrible. I knew it could be maybe good. I don't want to be a negative person. This is really easy to be negative about. But I want to give people hope, too. You know, I'm a cheerleader for the country. We are going through the worst thing that the country has probably ever seen, said the president today. Just in case you missed it, I wanted to be sure you got to hear that.
Right. And just to put that in context, when he was cheering, he was saying that, A, there were only 15 cases in the U.S. He didn't count the ones that were
That's
on the
what
ship
he was doing.
That were in the U.S. So they didn't count. There were only 15, and that was going down to 5 in a couple of days, and
right.
Within a few days, we'd be down to 0. Maybe we would have 1. Okay.
I remember him saying that, exactly that.
And when he was saying that and claiming that this wasn't a problem, and he had his finance guy saying we had it pretty well corralled, and Kudlow was saying we had it corralled, and under control, the virus was pouring into the country, and they didn't have a test, and if he knew everything, he wasn't doing anything. He was just cheering, saying, not a problem. It's a hoax. There's nothing to see here. And while he was cheering and saying it was just a hoax, and convincing some people that I think even today, I don't know if this is an internet rumor or not, but there are people going to hospitals trying to take pictures to prove that the dead aren't dying.
They're going to the outside of New York hospitals, one person
is,
filming the hospitals, and there are no big crowds of sick people, so therefore there's nothing going on. Right.
Yeah, and it sounds like Sandy Hook. So they're looking at that refrigerated truck with all the dead bodies and going to say they're all dummies or something in there, and they're just a bunch of actors. I mean, now you might have one guy filming it, but I don't know how many believe his film. So it's whatever he or she showed. But just to put that in perspective, he said that today. Okay. Now the data, or at least the projections of the data, were that we were going to have the best case, I think, was 80,000. The worst case was 240,000, and that was assuming if we maintained optimal pressure on the virus, and with several several states. They still didn't have any restrictions. another set of states that put on restrictions yesterday. And we just set all kinds of records today. We actually caught Italy. We had more deaths today than Italy did. We had almost 900 deaths today. U.S., not Italy. United States of America, the one without a problem. So we had 900 deaths today. To give you an idea.
Trump knew that. Trump knew everything, he said. I knew everything. I knew
it. Right, right. I mean, the numbers are quite remarkable. These are all public numbers. The same numbers are, you know, it depends what time they start and stop for the day, but they're all in the same ballpark. They've got us for deaths. Just today, United States, 873. Italy, 852.
Wow.
Spain, 742. France, 499. Those are the top deaths. So we are number one in deaths today. New cases today, 24,500. One day, 24,500. The closest country to us was Spain. They had just under 8,000. So they had 8,000. We had 24,000.
Well, you know, Trump always promised to make America number one. Wasn't that the joke that the conservative press went berserk over? I mean, that's
right. And we got to be number one when we got to a little over 80,000 cases. And then the next day we got up to 100,000 cases. And tomorrow we'll break 200,000. We're already at 188,000. So tomorrow we'll be at 200,000 cases. And again, the next closest country is Italy with just over 106,000. So tomorrow we will have them double, and they are number two. So they'll be up to, they put on about 400 a day. So they'll be at 110. And if we do the same tomorrow as we did today, we'll be at 212. So we'll be just about double. If we do a little better than today, we'll be exactly double. But we'll be more than double in 2 days because we're putting up 20,000 more cases each day than Italy is. And so we are number one. We're number one by a very wide margin. And we will, in the not-too-distant future, be number one in total deaths. I mean, we still have a little ways to go there. But we are in third place. The only two that have more are Spain and Italy. And Italy, it looks like their curve is starting to flatten out a little bit. So they finally stopped going up. And they're leveling out, and and of course we're not leveling out by any stretch of the imagination, and we should be going for at least a couple more weeks for New York, which is driving everything. But there are several other states that are getting ready to challenge New York. If New York starts to go down, which, eventually they will, then New Jersey is currently in second place. But you've got Michigan. Michigan added over 1,000 cases today, and they moved up to number four, and they had 259 deaths all by themselves. New Jersey had 267 deaths. Louisiana had 239 deaths. That's what their totals are. But even just for today, New Jersey added 69 for today alone. Michigan has 75 deaths for today alone. Louisiana had 54 deaths for today. Now, those numbers have not peaked. Those numbers are just getting started. And when you get states that have 50 to 100 deaths in one day, and they're not flattening out, pretty soon each of those states will have over 100 deaths every day. And that's going to go on for many days, if not weeks. And so it's not that hard to figure out how we're going to get to 80,000.
It's kind of hard
to figure out how we're not going to get to 80,000 because these states are not flattening out. And this has all happened since Trump knew it all and said, we're going to zero in a day or two. Give it a few days, we're down to one.
Easter. No problem.
Easter fell by the wayside a long time ago. I'm talking about when he was saying he knew everything and was saying that all under
control.
That was in January.
That was in mid-January, I think. Something like that.
No, it was later than that because that was...
Was it?
Because that was after all the ships. I mean, he didn't count the...
You're right. It was the end of February. In fact, at the end of February, on February 28th, that's when he said it was a Democrat hoax, on February 28th.
Yeah. When he was talking about those numbers, he was excluding the Americans that were on the... Diamond
Princess
that were in Texas and California. They were in Texas and California,
right.
Americans with you know, PCR confirmed, but they didn't count because they didn't get infected here. You know,
they're just imports we brought in
and kind of like the ones off the coast of Florida. Right now at Fort Lauderdale,
is it docked yet, or is it just they're begging to be allowed to dock?
It's not yet. It's they.
It's what?
They. They had one ship, okay?
And, yeah.
I don't know if it's on me, but they were, you know, going down to South America or somewhere and then coming back.
And it turned around, came back through the canal, right?
Right. But hold it. Before they went through the canal, they already had four dead bodies.
And they were locked. They were told they couldn't go through the canal at first, I remember.
And they had several others that were positive. And then they had many more that were symptomatic. And so their plan was to offload the healthy passengers onto another ship.
Another ship. They did remove some. I saw a picture of boats removing some of the passengers who allegedly were asymptomatic and healthy.
And then after they put them on the other ship and told the other ship, not a problem, this is you'll be safer on this ship than you will flying home on an airplane, that none of these passengers have symptoms, and you're just helping out your fellow employees or crew members on
crew
the
members.
Other ship by taking these... offloading the healthy passengers. And, of course, the healthy passengers soon develop symptoms. they've got infected passengers on both ships.
Very clever people. They didn't test the passengers they removed, okay? Got it?
No.
They didn't test them. So what do you... God.
And even if they did... They weren't quarantined for 10 days. You know, some of them would test negative today and they'll be positive tomorrow. You know, just because they're negative doesn't mean they're not infected.
No. And that's not necessarily a false negative. That's a real negative. That's just the way it works.
Right. It's real negative. It's just not there yet. It's not enough virus. They've got virus. They just don't have enough to detect. They got to give it a couple of days and then they'll detect you. That's what the quarantine is for. The quarantine is to keep you from being
They didn't quarantine any of those prisoners. They just put them on the other boat and got what they deserved. Wow.
And so now they got two ships with nowhere to go that nobody will allow them to.
Maybe they can dock in Pittsburgh, huh?
Well, they're going for Fort Lauderdale because apparently that's where some of the passengers live. So it was kind of a two-part. It was the first one down to South America, and then there was a second one that goes back to Fort Lauderdale. And so those passengers say, A, we're not sick. B, we're American citizens. And C, we're trying to get home. And we live in Florida, and we can't get off the ship in Florida. So anyway, that's owned by the same company that owns the Diamond Princess. The Princess
very clever to infect a second ship, wasn't it? That's very clever.
Yeah. Well, they've got four now. They've got both of these, and they got the Diamond Princess, and they got the Grand Princess. They're all owned by the same company. All four.
I didn't know that. I thought these were Holland America or something.
Yeah, but they're old. Holland is owned by Princess or something.
Princess.
Anyway,
all four are
owned by the same. Princess owns Holland America as well as the Princess series.
February the 28th that Trump did say it was the Democrats' new hoax. The virus just a month ago, 4 weeks ago, and 2 days.
Right, now we're number one. He made America great again. We're number one in the world. Just what, 4 weeks? They're going from one. He went. There was only one.
4 weeks.
Now,
just imagine
4 weeks.
That.
He went from one person, you know, going towards zero. But he went ahead and figured he'd see how fast he could take the lead in the world. And now we're up to almost 200,000. So from 1 to 200,000 in 4 weeks, not bad.
But keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that this president took this country to where it is right now. He did nothing in January except mock it. He did nothing in the month of February except mock it. And then he had to start backing around and spinning in multiple directions, saying he'd give himself a 10 for his handling of the virus in March, right. And look where we are at the end of March. This is unprecedented.
Ken was for closing barn doors after the horse was out of the barn.
That's right.
He did
right.
a lot of those.
Yes.
He did a
well
lot
said.
Of door closings.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in any event, we are number one by a large margin. And you know, we got a legitimate shot at beating 1918, I think. In 1918, I think there were something like 270,000 deaths in the U.S. Now, there were 50 million worldwide, but the U.S. did a lot better in 1918 than 2020. But in any event, we got a shot at breaking that record. And, in fact, we got a shot at breaking that record in the springtime, not even counting what's going to happen in the fall. So we can set one record in the springtime, all-time high for deaths from an infectious disease in the history of the country. And then we can break that record within a couple of months in the fall. And we can get back to that 1 to 2 million, which is what we were supposed to be able to get to if we didn't do anything. Which was actually his plan, since it was all a hoax, you know, that designed to ruin the economy, so to keep the economy intact. We could have done nothing and had 2 million dead in the spring. In this way, we'll only have 1 or 200,000.
Henry, they're replaceable.
We'll have the rest in the fall.
Because in fiscal 2019, he allowed 1.3 million to come across the border, so he'll just replace them.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We lose a million, we'll replace them.
Well, I don't know. Mexico's going to be short on people, too. I mean, it's a pandemic, it's not an epidemic. But in any event, the numbers are going up. It was really a record-setting day. The presentation, you know, maybe we'll get some attention, although I don't know. You know, some of these guys, it's going to be a hoax no matter what. You know, I don't know where all these numbers come from that everybody seems to be posting.
They're posting a fraction of a percent now for the alleged mortality rate, case fatality rate, less than 1%. I saw that today. And these people don't have any idea what they're talking about. Nothing.
Right,
nothing right. All just pottery.
They're just taking all of these people that would be infected that haven't been tested and excluding all the ones that have died that were never tested. So they'll just take the ones that, they'll just count the mild ones and exclude the fatalities and say, look how low it is. But in any event, I mean, the real way you're supposed to do the case fatality rate is to have a real case that you can manage and count. And so with SARS, the only cases were those that had pneumonia and that had a 10% case fatality rate. And SARS-CoV-2 is higher than 10%. It's only lower when you take the positives who normally would not go to the doctor. They were only tested because they were contacts, and other ones that had some symptoms, but they still wouldn't go to the doctor if it wasn't for under normal circumstances. It would be more like a cold. And the ones that would go to the doctors are the ones that are serious and would have pneumonia. And depending upon the age distribution, that for older people, for those over 65, it'd be over 10%. It would be closer to 20%. And so anyway, it's a serious problem. And it is going to get significantly worse for sure in the next couple of weeks. And there are going to be shortages. The hospitals are already talking about who goes on a ventilator and who doesn't.
Oh, the triage. Did you see, before we forget this, masks. Did you see what the Surgeon General did today? And he explained to Americans why the public does not need to wear masks. Did you see that one? Did you hear him?
Yeah, he just wear them for psychological purposes.
And then Tucker Carlson last night told it straight. But this guy, here, listen to this just for a minute here or so. He completely is talking I guess it's non sequiturs. It's just bizarre. Here.
Taking on COVID-19 as Americans.
All right. Okay, here's the Surgeon General explaining to all of us why we don't need to wear masks.
Early on, you told us a couple of weeks ago, don't walk around with masks. They're not going to help. If you're sick, it might stop you from getting other people sick. But we shouldn't do it. Have you changed your recommendation now? Because the president seems to think that maybe eventually we're all going to be walking around with masks. Do they help or not?
Well, Brian, you and I have talked about this a lot. It's important to understand that we are looking at the data every single day, and we make the best recommendations to the American people we can based on what we know. What the World Health Organization and the CDC have reaffirmed in the last few days is that they do not recommend the general public wear masks. Here's why. On an individual level, there was a study in 2015 looking at medical students. And medical students wearing surgical masks touch their face on average 23 times. We know a major way that you can get respiratory diseases like coronavirus is by touching a surface and then touching your face. So wearing a mask improperly can actually increase your risk of getting disease. It can also give you a false sense of security. And you see many of these pictures with people out and about, closer than 6 feet to each other, but still wearing a mask. On a population level, it's important for people to know that we tell sick people to wear masks so that you don't transmit disease to others. But again, if that encourages people to get together too close, then you may mitigate the effect or cancel out the effect of people wearing masks. And then finally, there's consequences. And we still have PPE shortages across the country. The WHO mentioned this in their statement. So we want to make sure we are reserving PPE for the people who most need it. That's how you're going to get the largest effect. Because if healthcare workers get sick, they can't take care of you when you get sick.
Oh,
and why
my.
Don't we have any PPEs?
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, that was, they've been preparing for this type of pandemic for 25 years. You know, they forgot to check out the masks.
This funniest thing, huh?
Yeah. We don't have PPEs. And the healthcare workers will get infected, and they don't even give them proper masks.
No.
President Trump, you N95, just go to the hardware store and see what they got.
After President Trump said he could envision a time when all Americans would be wise to wear a mask, but then when they told him that that'll never happen because they can't make enough of them quick enough, he said, well, people can just wear a scarf over their face. They can wear a scarf, he said. Wear a scarf over your face. You can use a scarf, he said. A lot of people have scarves. Another profound observation by the president. A lot of people have scarves. And you can use a scarf, he said. A scarf would be very good. Why does he say the same thing 4 and 5 times in a row? It's bizarre. But he did make that observation that a lot of people have scarves. I thought that was very good. Gave me a lot of confidence today.
Scarves, a handkerchief, the handkerchief. Anyway, this whole preparation, it will be historic. This will be the textbook of example on how not to prepare for a pandemic, and then how to not behave once you have a pandemic that you didn't prepare for. Just keep saying you're prepared. What's the problem? We got plenty of kits to test. So the latest on the testing, that now they've got a new kit, point of care. You can get the results right in the doctor's office. But, and we've got, they can do millions of tests, except, now we got to figure out how to get people to use them because they're used to getting tests done. However, they're getting it done now and they're reluctant to kind of switch over and start using the latest technology. So even though we've got the test and even though it's approved and even though there's enough ingredients available to actually run the test, and even though you can get an answer in 15 minutes, we're not sure that we can get anybody to use them. And part of the reason they're going to have trouble getting people to use them is because they don't want the patients in their offices. I mean, they don't want people with COVID walking in the door. And then
it's exactly the vision I just had.
How to collect the samples and how to, keep the other patients from getting infected.
The office would be shut down within a week.
Getting infected, right. And who's going to grab the doorknobs, So it's, that's part of the problem with testing right now, is that they don't want to do nasopharyngeal swabs because, A, they're supposed to have full PPEs on when they do that, when they're, in this instance. And
just imagine your GP
with the flu.
Full PPEs in the office. Right. You go in there. We're talking a suit, okay?
Right. And then you're supposed to change them for each patient.
So, every patient.
Constantly. Right.
Right.
And so this short swab is supposed to be something that isn't as invasive and you don't have to have as many PPEs. And they don't want to do that. It's not that they don't want to put them on. They don't want to take them off. I mean, they basically don't want to do tests without full PPE. And so, it's just a problem because nobody wants anything to do with this virus. And so the emergency departments don't want you going there. They don't want you walking in with the virus.
This is really an important point that you're making, Henry, that people literally in the health industry don't want to mess with this virus at all.
Right.
Go somewhere else and get tested. Don't come here.
Right.
That's true.
Exactly. And so that's what the issue is. So that's what the drive-throughs are. The drive-throughs to the Walmart, I don't know, I still haven't seen one of those. But, they have set them up. But even with them set up, they still limit testing. They limit, I tried to get tested here in Pittsburgh many times through many, and they all required, you had to have breathing difficulties, a fever, and a cough. You had to have all three of those boxes checked to get tested. And it's even worse. I mean, I've got relatives that actually are positive in New Jersey, and they couldn't get tested. I mean, it was a relative whose son hadn't been tested, but almost certainly was positive. Son's wife was almost certainly positive. And then his wife was almost certainly positive. And his daughter was almost certainly positive. And his wife and daughter were sick enough that they could get tested. He still couldn't be tested, even though he was living with both of them and did have a cough and a fever. and they're positive. So they came back positive. So now he can get tested, except he's too sick to go to get tested. This is in northern New Jersey. I mean, this is not that far from that nursing home in Woodbridge that, you know, the whole nursing home is infected and
gone.
In a county in New Jersey that's got, I don't know, 1,000 positives, maybe 2,000 now. Yeah, it's not a low density area. And he still couldn't get tested. I mean, he lived there with two people that ended up being positive. So, I mean, now he can get tested because he lives with two confirmed cases. And he's got two out of the three symptoms. He's got a cough and, although I don't know, he might have breathing difficulties by now. So he might be able to do it. He might be sick enough to do it even without being a contact. But anyway, the bottom line is, it's very difficult to get tested. Even with these millions of tests that are out there, so all the numbers
I've got something else. You've got to hear this. You mentioned the drive-in test station. There's a drive-in
station at Walmart.
Yeah, there's one in New Rochelle, and reporter went in there to get tested today, and it's Project Veritas. No, they tested him. He drove in there. And I've got it up in headlines, and you can see it. It's there. James O'Keefe is the man who founded Project Veritas. He's done some good work. Here's what it sounded like when he went in there to get tested. He's driving in, and they've got a clip. You'll hear the National Guardsman talking to him.
What about the situation itself? Is it as bad as ever the media is saying, the whole pandemic?
Oh, no. It's the flu.
It's just the flu?
It's the flu.
That's all it is?
It's the flu.
Wow. Is the media accurately reporting, or is it as bad as people are saying?
No.
It's not as bad as the...
Mary.
The media is making it out bigger.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just want to be precautious.
Just be precautious, yep. All right. And it's not as bad as...
Okay. So there's just a little clip from that. That's what the National Guard was telling him as he's in line to get tested. And then he got tested with the new short swab that you mentioned already.
Right.
And they're
right,
all basically telling him it's no big deal, but the nurse did say that some people are getting real sick with it. She did admit that much. So I don't know. There you go.
Yeah, I've seen the sequence from the index case. It wasn't a flu sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And,
correct.
It was the...
They must have told the National Guard to say that, or they want to believe it. I don't know.
They want to believe it. I've heard those rumors forever. It's always some type of hoax. I gave you the story. This is a quick reminder. Back when the swine flu, there was denial that the swine flu even existed. And
that's right.
There was a technician.
That's right.
There was a technician who knew that the influenza A test was the test he did for seasonal flu. And by late spring, seasonal flu was gone. And the only thing that was giving flu-like symptoms by April and May was the swine flu. And there was a shortage of test kits then. But they knew that if they did the influenza A test and you were positive, you had the swine flu, because the only influenza A circulating in May was the swine flu. Seasonal flu was gone. It had been totally eliminated. So if they went, they had an influenza A positive 99.9% of the time, it was swine flu. But the technician knew that in the past, the influenza A test was the test you did for seasonal flu. So she insisted that they were telling her to write swine flu on the test tube because it was influenza A positive, and she knew that influenza A was for seasonal flu. So in her mind, all these people with swine flu really had seasonal flu because they did the influenza A test, and the doctors were telling her to write swine flu on the test tube to fake it. So that was another fake. They all had seasonal flu because they were influenza A positive, and the doctors told them to write swine flu, check the swine flu box on the test tube. And so they were misrepresenting them. And in fact, they weren't misrepresenting anything. That if you were influenza A positive in May of 2009, you had swine flu because there was no seasonal flu. And swine flu is influenza A as is seasonal flu. So they both give a positive on that test. But if only one is circulating and you get a positive, it's the one that's circulating, not the one that used to be. But they used to say, oh, this is all a hoax. And here's the proof. Influenza A positive, they check swine flu, and I know influenza A is seasonal flu. So that's the same thing here. I mean, Trump says it's the flu. I mean, they don't know the difference between the influenza virus.
Well, they said that,
and
they also
and
said
the coronavirus. And,
right.
Right. So there's medical or scientific information is, there's all kinds of versions of it. There's a correct version, and there's all these rumors. And that's one of the rumors. Believe me, that New Rochelle outbreak was coronavirus. It wasn't the flu. It was real. Not everybody gets that sick. 85% of the people have a mild flu. That's a known fact. I mean, that's not in dispute. Nobody has said that everybody that gets the coronavirus ends up in the hospital or ends up on an ECMO machine. 85% of the people never, you know, quarantine at home. They don't go in the hospital. They have a mild disease. And sometimes it's fairly severe. Like the relatives I've got, they're monitoring their oxygen levels. I mean, but they're monitoring them at home. They're not in the hospital. And they are all, you know, have significant symptoms. And two have been tested and are positive.
I had a guest who was supposed to be on tonight, Joe Cimino, called today, and he's got it. And he hadn't been tested yet, but his coworkers, he works for the subway system in New York, and he said, I feel so awful. I just want to lay down. He was wiped out. This is a bad bug. Bad.
Yeah. Well, that's what they have. I mean, they're very, very tired and,
correct.
And have, you know, sore throats and it's the one that didn't get tested. He just got a low grade fever. Maybe that's why they didn't test him. He's taking Tylenol, so he's only got, you know, 99 or something is what his fever was. So maybe that's why he didn't get tested. But he does not feel well. He is literally monitoring his oxygen levels. And if it drops too much, he's supposed to go in.
Go in.
But. Yeah. In any event, so it runs the gamut. I mean, if I had it, I never was that sick. I mean, I definitely had a cough. You know,
well, you were on the air with it. I remember. You were coughing.
Well, that's a swine flu.
No, you were coughing a little bit with this stuff when you were complaining you couldn't get tested.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
swine flu is a big cough.
Right. This was the same type of cough, but it wasn't as frequent. The swine flu, you know, I could cough 20, 30 times a minute. This I had to cough a couple times a minute. And, right. But I was pretty well wiped out, and it did last for, probably 10 days or so. And my daughter actually did have breathing difficulties. So, I mean, my wife and daughter both had the same thing. None of us have been tested, but in this case, it really wasn't that bad. I mean, we had the early version of it. We had it. My wife got exposed like in January for it. I mean, when we had it, nobody had the test. I mean, nobody was getting tested in Western Pennsylvania at that time. So I knew it was kind of futile to try to figure out how to get tested for this. Unless you were really sick, you weren't going to get tested. But anyway, getting back to the update, one update, if you recall yesterday, I had said that NYU had released 16 sequences from Manhattan and Nassau. And that all 16 were the Italian strain, and they had previously released 4 sequences, and one was from Iran, the other 3 were also the Italian. So yesterday there had been 20 sequences, and 19 of them were the Italian sequence. And today, they released 14 more sequences, and it wasn't quite as high, but 11 of the 14 were, again, the Italian sequence. So they've now released 34 sequences, all of which were from either Manhattan or Nassau County. And of those 34, 30 are the Italian sequence. And that is pretty much why New York is kind of got this curve that's over and above just about anything else, because what they have there is largely the Italian sequence, especially if they're in the city in Manhattan or out in Nassau County. And that's going to be one of the key drivers. I'm sure that's what's in New Jersey that is dominated by that lineage. And I think that's probably in eastern Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia area now, because they're starting to take off. Philadelphia's got 1,300 cases, and there's 2 counties that are adjacent to it. One's Delaware County, and the other's Montgomery County. And Delaware, I think, is over 500 cases, and Montgomery County, I think, is they've got around 800 now. And so Pennsylvania is now making a move. They're up to I think it's almost 4,000. So it's over 4,000. It's almost 5,000 cases now. And they added quite a few today. I think it was, hold on, let's see, Pennsylvania added 874 today. So they're up to 4,961 with 6 deaths.
Right.
So Pennsylvania, go ahead.
What's our total number of cases? What's the caseload here in the U.S. now? 200,000?
Tomorrow it'll be 200,000.
Tomorrow.
It's 189.
All right. I've got that figure. 188.5. All right. 189. I've got that figure here. Right. I just want everyone to hear this. 189,000 cases. Total deaths right. in the U.S., 3,889.
No, total. I've got 4,000 already.
All right, let's call it 4,000.
4,036, yeah.
But let me do this one more time.
It depends when they start the date.
Right.
Go on.
I'm going to round this off. 190,000 cases in the U.S., 4,000 right. deaths, total recovered, right. total recovered, that means healed, released, resolved, 7,200 out of 190,000. Yeah. So 7,200 dead, 7,200 recovered, 3,890 dead. Well, 4, 7 and 4. That's what you got, 4,000 dead, 7,000 approximately recovered. That's it.
Right.
Why so right. few recovered? Are they not tracking this?
Well, some of them are tracked. So these are picking up what's on the websites of the states, and some of them really don't cover the recovery.
It's an awfully low number.
Yeah. Right. So they keep track of the deaths, and they keep track of the positives. And some list they recovered a lot, just, you know, they don't really track them. So just looking at these, composite numbers aren't going to give you that accurate. So sometimes they start catching up, but some of them kind of highlight it. I mean, for New York, I think almost all the recovered that you have on that list are actually from New York. New York, I'm looking at the table I've got here, and it's a little bit different. 4,200 are recovered from New York. So New York, New York gives its recovered cases. The other states really don't. So if you've got them in a given study, that's the way to do it. You know, you have to kind of, and in a written study, they'll say who is recovered, and then there might be, you know, a subset that they don't have any outcomes yet. So you can get, I mean, if you get that number from the initial cases, for instance, in Wuhan, and then the case fatality rate was in the neighborhood of 15-16% or so, and they had a small number that they had, didn't have an outcome yet, but they had, you know, discharge or dead on a good percentage of them, and that's what it is. I mean, it's the case fatality rate is double digits, is somewhere between 10-20%, and the exact number that it is kind of dependent upon the distribution of it. They give numbers, you know, based upon how many cases were diagnosed. And, you know, most of them are in the 1-7 or 8%. Sometimes it gets as high as 7 or 8% if they've got a fair number of deaths from nursing homes. And, or they're not really testing a lot. I mean, that's what happened with the UK. The UK really didn't do very much testing. They did know, you know, who was, a case as far as the deaths were concerned. And then when they reported the deaths and they hardly tested anybody else, they ended up with these large fatality rates. And now they're catching up. I mean, the UK had 374 deaths today. And so they're at 1,700 deaths. And they only got 25,000 cases. So their death rate, you know, they're just taking the death divided by the total number. They're at 7% as their death rate. So that's in the same ballpark as Italy and Spain. Italy's 11% and Spain's 8%. But that's assuming that you know, all of those that haven't died but are still in the hospital will recover, because they're not, you know, looking at outcomes there either. So they're coming up with an artificially low number. But for the UK, because they didn't test much, they're at 7.11%, and they know they're in trouble. I mean, that's the other way. Just like You can tell, you know, what's going on in China by how many cases they export. You can tell what's going on in the UK by how many members of parliament have the disease. You know, that if you got a reasonable number of high profile people that are infected, to say that you've got 25,000 cases in the entire country is not that credible. And my guess is that 25,000 they're reporting today is significantly higher than it was probably a week ago, because they just weren't testing. But they were reporting the fatalities, and then it started to look kind of funny because all of a sudden they got this high death rate where they've got the same strain that everybody else in Europe has. And so other ones have a much lower death rate. So that's some of the games that are played with the numbers as far as...
Speaking of games, I'm just marveling at our president, his leadership today, his intellectual acumen, extraordinarily on display once again. He said, remember, people can wear a scarf over their face if they want to avoid catching the coronavirus. And he said further, and I'm quoting here, you know, you can use a scarf. A lot of people have scarves, and you can use a scarf. A scarf would be very good, he said.
No idea. No idea.
End quote.
That's what they're for.
It's truly amazing.
In any event, the numbers were alarming as far as, I mean, a good outcome is 100,000 dead. Yeah, that's on a good day. There's only $100,000 people dead, then that would be a good result. And I'm not sure we're going to end up with a good result.
Well, I don't know what you think of astrology. I'm not particularly in it one way or the other, but two major astrologers have independently said that October is going to be hell, and it'll last right on through until January. That's the second wave.
That's what pandemics in the past, 1918, did that. Swine flu definitely had more activity in the fall than they did in the spring.
All right. Well, we will see.
It'll be the same thing here. Okay. Yep. Sounds good.
Thanks, Henry.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night. Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, one of the world's top virologists, here every night. All right. We'll keep watching it for you. Trump just leaves me speechless sometimes. In fact, that's a condition he ought to assume more than he does. Speechlessness. Back tomorrow night in 21 hours. See you then.